Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. I'm Tessie.
And I'm Leslie.
You guys, we are sisters, we are friends, and we are enjoying this journey of the Mama Bear Dares podcast, where we get to go deep into conversation with other women who have taken this mantle of motherhood and expanded it to really see how this love for our kids can go out into our communities and into our world to just spread these beams of love and compassion. And we get to do that on Mondays. This is such a blessing to hear how people are moving about the world in different ways, right? It takes all of us to kind of move that dial forward. And we love doing that. On Wednesdays, we get to talk about things that are near and dear to Leslie in my heart, or things that you have emailed us and asked us to explore, or posted on our social media pages. Hey, I love this article. You guys should check it out too. And that's what we're doing today. Actually, today we're just, it's going to be a little fun because the holidays are intense and we felt like, you know what? Let's just have some fun. Did we not?
That's right. Let's have some fun. It's the holiday season. Here we are.
Leslie, it is the holiday season, and I hope our listeners heard the new jams by the one and only Wunderkind. The Christmas bee he made just for this podcast.
Thank you, Wunderkind. It's so good. Wunderkind, in case you are wondering, is my 12-year-old son. This is a family endeavor. He is incredible.
He is incredible. He does all of our beats, in case you guys were wondering, and I was so happy when you asked him to do a Christmas one. I think it's perfect. Yeah. We are just weeks away from Christmas and New Year's and all the trappings that go with them. So, Leslie, how you doing over there? You okay?
I am. I'm doing great, actually. So, Tessie, as you know, on top of all that goes into Christmas, and I'm a huge believer in celebrating the new year with style and champagne, but we've also, our middle child's birthday is that week in between Christmas and New Year's.
True.
Our wedding anniversary is also in there, so it can be crazy, and I think sometimes this time of year, regardless of the extra holidays, can kind of, I'll admit, it throws me into a bit of a tailspin, but I'm relatively calm, despite it all.
I'm so proud of you. That's awesome. That's so good. I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, you know, I used to get pretty stressed as well, but I feel like we've just come so far, haven't we? Maybe we've listened to our own advice and we just have zero F's to give. Like, we're just ready for it, you know? But this is a first world problem that Americans tend to have around the holidays. This stress, right, that comes from everything. The parties, the gifts, the travel, all hashtag first world problems. All of it. But I see it in the eyes of the participants in my classes that I teach. I hear it in the voices of other parents at school. And I do. I feel it myself. Even though I know better, I still slip into that, right? Because we are frantically trying to prepare and create this magic for our kids and families. And sometimes, sometimes our crazy is to the detriment of the actual lived experience.
It's so true. You're so right. It's so easy to fall into this trap. And it's something that I have battled year after year until I received a piece of advice that I live by during this frenzied, beautiful season to this day.
I thought you were going to continue. Continue.
Well, I don't want to tell you now. You have to wait. And listeners, you have to follow along too. I will share this advice, but you got to come along with us. We are offering a Mama Bear guide to surviving the holidays. And we're not going to dole out advice on how to manage difficult relationships, because I know that that's a thing. And for once, we're not going to be really heavy-handed on excessive consumerism.
What?
Hold it in. Hold it in. But instead, we're going to get back to the basics. It's simpler than you think. So this episode, it's going to be short. It's going to be sweet. It's going to be fun. Let's do it. All All right, Tessie, besides ordering all of your gifts online, because I know you do.
True.
And not ever changing out of Christmas PJs, because I know that is true as well. Mm-hmm. What is key in your world to making this season about joy and not about stress?
Well, for me, this is one of the reasons why when we talked with Kendra Thompson on episode 65 about parenting rituals, this is why that resonated so much with me. Because we talked about how they can ground us and allow us to create kind of like a framework from which to enjoy our lives, right? Mm-hmm. And I think this is specifically true around this time of year because we just have so many rituals that take place around the holidays. A few for us that I love and look forward to every year and that kind of reminds me what it's all about, you know, and not about like the crazy gifts and all of that. So here are a few of our rituals that I just love and that give me the perspective I need when I am like being ridiculous on Amazon. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So one of my, I mean, it starts right after Thanksgiving, that same weekend of Thanksgiving, that Sunday, we put up the tree, all of the decorations, the kids sit down at our table, we make some hot cocoa, and they write letters to Santa. Mm-hmm. And we plan our Target gift exchange with the kids. This is okay, like...
you got to tell about this Target gift exchange.
Okay, yes. I guess not everybody does
this.
It's
not like a thing that everyone does, the Target gift exchange.
Everyone
will want to, probably, but you need to explain this.
I feel like everyone should. So, but I forget that I did not know of this until I met our in-laws.
Right.
So this is a Klipsch family tradition that started with our parents' in-law, Frank and Terry. Everyone goes to Target and we draw names out of a hat. And then while in Target, with the Klipsches, you would spend time going through Target and saying, ooh, I want this in aisle E25. I tucked it. Jake was, your husband was notorious for like hiding what he wanted. So no one would take it in the 10 minutes. Right. So like it's behind the glass, whatever store, you know, front. But for us, we don't do that. We have to just guess what the person would really enjoy. But we dodge in and out of the aisles hiding from one another so that the person whose name we pulled out of the hat doesn't know we have them.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of our favorite traditions. Like the kids each get $25 that they get to spend on someone else. And again, it's just like that, just really thinking and kind of meditating on what that sibling or parent would really want.
Right.
We love it. We love it so much.
I love it too, especially when we have not done this before, but we're going to this year.
Yay!
We actually decided to.
Yay!
And because part of the fun is the trickery, right? Like dodging and you're surprising.
Yes.
And it's a way for the kids to give each other presents that, you know, I mean, they still wrap up often like their old toys for their siblings. But this is a lot of fun.
Yeah, or like those cheap things that schools do for the PTA, you know, like those are the other options. So they feel super empowered and it's so much fun.
It's true.
Yeah. And on Christmas Eve, they get to unwrap them. We do the exchange. And just like the Klipsches did, say I have Teriku, I'll like go start walking towards Tomas and then say, psych, and give it to Teriku. You know, so there's fun in the game too. The kids just love it. They love it so much. And then after we unwrap that one present, then the kids go and they build a fort in one of their rooms that all of them sleep in every single Christmas
Eve.
So
the Christmas Eve slumber party at your house, that's such a great tradition.
It is. It's so fun. Zach reads the night before Christmas when they're all tucked into their forts. It's just like, I genuinely cry every year and I'm about
sure
to cry
right
now. But the thing I love about these rituals is, again, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. They know that this is coming on this day. And since we're getting closer and closer, they're already talking about it. You know, they're already asking each other, if I get your name, what would you want from Target?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so the plan is in place and all I have to do, execute it. So there's room to kind of breathe and enjoy the time together without constantly planning my next move or my next whatever, because these traditions, new and old, are rich and they're so helpful this time of year.
Yeah, I completely agree. I love that how you said that traditions kind of provide that framework to really enjoy the season. So I think that's a great mama bear tip.
So yes. As I was thinking about this mini, I came to the conclusion that managing expectations is really, really important. I think it helps us as adults, but it's also really helpful to kids. So we manage expectations, of course, in terms of gifts, but also schedule. So our kids get 3 gifts and a stocking full of fun from us on Christmas right. morning. And then they know that at one grandparent's house, it's sort of a free-for-all, like crazy, you know? And then they know that the other grandparents don't really do gifts, but they get church and they get music and they get dinner and they know this. So everyone kind of understands and knows what to expect. I think that the magic that's made on Christmas is within those parameters. So we have this, whether you have kids that like schedule or that really need that or not, they kind of understand what's coming. And we, of course, we try to buy thoughtfully, and we love watching the kids unlock that magic of the gifts on Christmas morning. I'd like to think that we do this in a way that's manageable and that doesn't have just that extra stress of making the season magical, because it already is within those parameters.
Yeah, we did an entire episode on allowing kids to make their own magic. You remember this, right? Childhood is magic because it's childhood, because they are not spending so much money on the gifts. It's already magical, you guys.
Right.
If you want to know more about that one, check out episode 32. Leslie named it The Summer and the War Against Manufactured Magic, which was great, but we explored that topic for an entire mini, so check that out too.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, I think what you and I are both kind of talking about is just abandoning perfectionism as well. Like, this kind of is wrapped up in another, maybe would we say, like, mama bear tip number 3, something
yes.
like that, right?
Yeah, let's call it tip. We do love a list, so let's say,
exactly.
Yeah, like, lose the perfectionism.
Yep, drop so it like hard. It's hot. Yep. So I think this, like, abandoning perfectionism, this thing that we all have inside that we want to make it the best Christmas ever, I think we kind of stifle that by managing the expectations of our kids or our family members. You know, if your kids know that they're only getting 4 gifts, they don't run out and then are disappointed by seeing 4 gifts. They know this, right? Or if your family knows you always do Christmas morning at your own house, they're never going to expect you to be Christmas morning at theirs, right? This is hard for some, especially people pleasers, right? To not kind of strive for that perfectionism. But I think for the sake of our own happiness and the happiness really of those around you, you've got to throw perfectionism out of the window. I mean, let's be real. The tree doesn't have to be perfect. In fact, like, I have this weird thing where I've been known to pick the ugliest tree out of the bunch because it's like this small act of rebellion against holiday perfectionism for me. It's weird. It's whatever. I'm working through it, you know. But you don't have to throw the biggest party on the block with the best, like, napkin rings, right? You know what? This is not a thing we have to do.
Right. You might, if you like to do it, then do yes. it. But don't feel like you have to
exactly.
do it. Right?
Exactly.
Like, you don't have to have a Pinterest-y Christmas. Unless
yeah.
you love Pinterest, and that brings you so much joy.
Yeah. And then in which case, like, invite me over, and I will celebrate that with you. Right? And Leslie, you know me. Our listeners know me. I love meditation. I believe wholeheartedly in its benefits and its necessity this time of year. So if you guys, you're able to carve out time, like, sit in front of your tree with the sparkling lights and just reflect on what makes you happy and feel at peace. This feeling of love and peace and joy and happiness, it will exude from every one of your pores. And aren't those really the feelings we want to feel this time of year, right? I mean, is this just me?
No, for sure.
Okay, you weren't answering, so I was like, oh, shoot. I guess I only want love and peace and happiness.
No, we all do. We all do.
Okay. And I think, I mean, I'm convinced meditation is just like the best antidote to perfectionism. So tip number 3, let go of that perfection, and you'll also let go of kind of that harried schedule and the frantic consumerism.
100% agree, just in case that wasn't clear before. But if you're like me, oh my gosh, my Virgo perfectionism is just off the charts. It's so annoying. It's really, really hard. I like things to be perfect. I do. And honestly, if you would have told me all of this a few years ago, I would have said, like, sure, sounds really nice. And then I would have jumped back on Pinterest and I would have been planning my absolutely perfect dinner party. And probably not even because I love Pinterest so much, but because I was striving for perfection. Right. So this comes from the place of me being a work in progress and trying hard to recover from perfectionism. But I love what you're saying. I love step three, abandoning perfectionism. So this, Tessie,
okay,
is where my life-changing soul awakening advice comes in. Are you ready?
Is this tip four? Or like, is this a whole other tip? Okay.
Oh no, I'm excited. Tip four. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So someone once told me a couple of years ago to pick a date on the calendar to be done with your holiday prep. And this should be like before December 24th. So when that date arrives, you'll have everything done that you're going to do for the holidays or not done, but regardless, you've stopped the madness. You're done.
Okay.
You're done preparing. So if you get to that date and you don't have the other things that you kind of think you're supposed to have done, or the things that would make for the perfect Christmas or the magical Christmas, whatever it is that you think you're supposed to have done to make those things happen, if that date comes, it's not done, forget it. They're out the window.
Whoa. Okay. This sounds cutthroat, but I like it.
It is. And this really, it works for me. My date this year is Friday, December 16th.
That's when this podcast goes up. That is 2 days away. How are we doing? You close?
I'm doing great. I'm planning. I'm wrapping. I am strategizing. All of this will happen before December 16th. I will purchase the gifts that I am socially required to purchase.
Okay.
So, you know, like if I don't get a gift before the 16th for my mother-in-law, like that would be terrible. And so I am going to get that done. I will plan the parties that I hope to throw. I will prepare for the sweet traditions that I hope to carry out. But after the 16th, she gone. No more. No more last minute gifts.
Whoa.
No more additions to the calendar. No more pressure to perform.
Okay.
So for someone like me, having this hard line, it frees up that emotional space to be present, to enjoy the season without all of the, oh, I should do this or I should do that to make it better.
Wow, this is so good. Okay. So the Gemini in me, the one who at times strives for perfection and then in the next moment says, screw it, it doesn't matter. So interested in this. So what if it's the 16th and you haven't sent out your Christmas cards? Because I know you love sending cards and I look forward to them every year.
Okay.
What happens
so
then?
You don't send them. Maybe you send them on Valentine's Day or Groundhog's Day.
I was going to say, I've gotten a Groundhog's Day card from you before. This has happened.
So you don't do it.
Okay.
You missed that ship. It must not have been a priority that year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We've already established you love to craft. You love this, right? And I've seen you this time of year making homemade granola for your entire neighborhood or painting wooden serving utensils.
True.
And stamping dish towels. The list is endless. And I've seen you do these things in December. What if it's the 16th and you have yet to make your homemade garland?
Well, it's probably not going to happen then.
Whoa.
No, I know. It must not have been a priority this year. If I have not purchased the materials to make it by the 16th, then it's a no.
Whoa. But what about your aunt's recipe for sugar cookies? What if those, like, what if you haven't baked them?
Yeah, we'll just have to wait till Valentine's Day. You're not going to shake me, Tessie. You are not going to rattle me.
All right, I like it. I was just testing you because I know we're both works in progress. So I was just testing your fortitude. I'm proud of you. You passed.
Thank you.
Congratulations. But I like that tip number four. Pick a date to be done with the tasks and just start enjoying kind of the fruits of your labor. That's good. That's good. I think that's it. Or do you have another one up your sleeve?
I think that's good. That's it.
Okay. That is the simple guide to enjoying the holidays Mama Bear style. So we've got to embrace the rituals, manage expectations, banish perfectionism. That was a tough word. Banish perfectionism and pick a date to say that's enough.
Yeah, I think that's it. And, you know, often we're all about activating our Mama Bear, right? Like on this podcast, we want to channel her power and her anger and use it for good. But this is a great day, I think, to remind ourselves that we're also human and that sometimes we need to just take a break every once in a while and relax and enjoy the family, enjoy this life. So as so many of our guests have taught us over this last year, I think there's a time for spreading love out into the world. And then there's a time to kind of rest and recover and receive the gifts of life. And this is such a great time to do it. It's a great time to restore yourself so that you can really hit the ground running in the new year.
Love it. We've got a new segment for you that weirdly our husbands actually recommended. Now that I think about it, I'm not sure how I feel about it, but I think it was gold. It was solid gold the second we heard about it. And we're calling it hashtag I martyr so hard, right? Because we're all guilty of it. When we martyr, we try so hard and so earnestly to do what's right or what needs to be done, but we do it with this attitude of, look at me, look how hard I'm working. Guys, no one else has to do this or has ever done this before. This is my cross to bear, and I'll do it, but you better notice it. You better be writing sweet poems about me, and you better never talk poorly about me to your therapist in the future because I martyr so hard.
You martyr so hard, right. It's like, it's everyday tasks. Sometimes, like, taking out the trash, like, oh, I'll do it. I'll go outside in the cold and I'll carry this heavy, stinky bag of garbage. I'm the mom. I'm the mom. I'll do it. Don't mind me. You no, just go on and have fun, you guys. I'll do it. But on the inside, like, you are fuming and you know that no one appreciates you and no one sees your sacrifice.
Yes.
And so you just martyr so hard.
You do. And why, especially with the garbage and like Midwest winters, we then go out without a coat or shoes on, you know, like we really amp up the martyrdom. This is not just me, right?
No, I'm cold because I took out the trash and I didn't wear gloves, but I had to. That's what I do.
It is. This is a thing for sure. I mean, sometimes I catch myself in this martyr mode. And I'm usually just so mad and upset, and yet I know at some level, or at like virtually every level, the whole thing is ridiculous. So we looked up the official dictionary definition just to express this, how ridiculous taking out the garbage in the cold winter is, you know? So an actual martyr is a person who is killed or who suffers greatly for a religion, cause, etc.
Right.
Or a person who pretends to suffer or who exaggerates suffering in order to get praise or sympathy. So we can all agree we're the latter. This is what we're talking about.
Right. That is the hashtag I martyr so hard. So we're not actually in the line of death or
or religious persecution
or persecution, but yet we do this. So the way it plays out in our lives, it can be funny in retrospect, right, Tessie? I mean, in the moment, it is real.
It is so real.
It's so real.
Yeah.
But in retrospect, you can laugh about it. So we thought it would be fun to do this segment, I Martyr So Hard, in which we just sort of talk through the ways that we've martyred lately. I mean, surely we're not alone. Like, listeners, surely you can relate.
Right.
All right, so let's talk about this. I can tell you, Tessie, that I am a long-suffering gift wrapper this time of year. I mean, I'm sure I'm the only one who's going to get it done and, like, put a bow on it. And so I just get all my supplies and I go to the table and because I have to. I mean, I have to. Not something I enjoy, but if I mean, I gotta do it. So yeah. I martyr so hard at gift wrapping presents.
That was going to be mine because I buy all the gifts, all of them. Literally just in the car, Zach said, I can't wait to see what we got for the kids this year. That's right. And I also help my parents and Zach's parents buy for the kids. I genuinely love doing this, but at some point there's like nothing left on the kids' lists and it's requiring some creativity. And then hashtag I martyr so hard. And I'm just like angrily buying a mug that says for Fox's sake on Etsy. I just did that yesterday. This happens every year. Every year because hashtag I martyr so hard.
So hard. And you're right, like some of the things that we martyr about, like we actually like doing.
Right.
I don't get it. Like I love, you guys know, I love planning. I love making lists. And, you know, I like doing these things. I love planning meals. I like making lists of things, for groceries or for whatever it is. But when I martyr so hard, I also need to make sure that everyone else sees how much I put into the planning. I love it. Yeah. Don't tell. I love
exactly.
it. Exactly. But like...
But you'll also hang up all of your lists on the wall at some point to let everybody
and be like,
know.
Look at how hard I martyr.
Seriously. That is like decorating for me. Dayla and I are the only ones just so excited to decorate the house for Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I make all of my kids help. I also make Zach help and put the added pressure on him to say, your attitude right now will funnel down to your son, so you need to get on this with great joy.
Okay? With such joy.
So... I make them do this, and I do it in a way that, like, if they ever give me the side eye or start to complain about decorating, at some point I hashtag I martyr so hard, and it's like, that's it. If you won't do this with great joy, then get out of here. You know?
Because you're so clearly doing it with so much joy.
I have so much joy in my heart, and then you can be found me martyring the shit out of it, and I'll be by myself stringing lights and lugging all of the empty containers back to the storage shed because something bad happens.
Yeah.
And you're so hard.
Another sign of martyring so hard is when someone actually says, like, can I help you carry those to the shed?
Yes!
And you're just like,
and you
no.
say no.
I'll do it myself.
Testify.
Like, I that don't need your help. Exactly. So I think another, this time of year, way that I tend to hashtag martyr so hard is... Actually, never. I do this any time of year. It doesn't have to be just this time of year. But packing up the car, like any sort of packing, actually, like packing suitcases, packing the correct presents into the correct bags, into the right place in the car, like bringing, you know, the right food gifts to the right places, full on martyr. And it's like I decide in my martyrdom that I'm the only one who actually knows how to do this. So I'm the only one. Like, I expect my husband to be able to read my mind and, like, help. But then he can't. Because
he can't.
I'm the only one who knows how to do it. And so it's like, fine, I'll just do it. I'm the only one. So that is the packing martyrdom. Like, it's a dance. I have perfected.
That is so good.
Oh, but we're going to try. We're trying to do better, right, sister? Like, we know. It's not attractive, martyrdom.
It's not. It's not. We're trying to do better.
So, yeah, if you martyr or if you have tips that make you stop trying to martyr so hard, like maybe you feel like you're going into that martyr mode and you're just like, nope, I figured out a way to make myself not go there.
Oh,
like, please tell us.
I need that.
All right, Mama Bears, today we dare you to do your very best to enjoy this season. We dare you to give yourself some parameters, if you need them, in order to be relaxed and as joy-filled as possible as our communities walk through this time of year. Look for the traditions in your life and your family and embrace them as such. Work to manage the expectations and the perfectionism. And if you're like me and you need a hard line to stop hustling and slow down and enjoy, then give yourself a date to be done. And then sit back, breathe, enjoy. We know how hard you work and try, Mama Bears. In order to fill up your soul and renew your spirit and your energy, you need to rest. You really do. Even if it's against your nature or what the culture tells you. Enjoy your kids, enjoy your families, enjoy your friends, treasure the season on your own terms, and soak up the love.
There's so much love to soak up. I love that, sister. Love it so much. So you guys, seriously, we really want to hear your martyr stories. We want to know that this is a universal thing and not just a sister thing.
Please. Are we just terrible? I think we might just be off.
There's an aspect of that. I'll admit that. But I believe there are more out there like us. So we created the hashtag #IMartyrSoHard. So tag us in your Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter stories. We can't wait to see them. I think we should say some of our favorites on a future episode.
Yeah,
that would be really fun.
That would be fun.
I guarantee they'll be really funny. So, so tell us about your martyr stories and enjoy the season, you guys. Find us on our Facebook, Instagram. And I actually just Snapchatted during this podcast taping to show. I did. I wanted to show everybody my Christmas PJs. So we're also on Snapchat. Find us on all the places. Join the conversation. Join the community. We're having so much fun. We have an awesome, awesome episode coming at you on Monday. I can't wait to drop that. Mm-hmm. So come back then too.
Yay! Have a great week. You know, I'm going to be up late this Thursday night finishing the dang list because now I've told all of you that I'm done on Friday. You test me. If you see me at the grocery store, you say, get home. You better not be making Aunt Tessa's sugar cookies.
I do have a question. Does it end at midnight? Like, if I get a Snapchat from you at 1 a.m.,
I'll be at 1 a.m.? No, at 1 a.m., I'll be relaxing. I'll just be drinking a glass of wine. Be like, it is time to enjoy the season.
But 11:59, there will be a Snapchat of you a little harried.
A little harried.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm down. Thanks, guys.